had they're all younger than me except one, I think, and that's really strange. And then we have one just passed away yesterday. She had cancer, and her dad was texting me and said, you know, one text I got, pray for a miracle. That's the only, you know, if it's not for a miracle, there's just nothing going to happen. And so, but he texted me yesterday, I guess about, he said, he called her name and said she got healed this morning at 4:07. And I knew obviously what he was talking about, because when she got to heaven, she didn't have a cancerous body. Amen. So heaven just sounded sweeter, and it's kind of like Paul said, you know, if you look at times like these in our world, and you're like, Paul is like, man, I'm just between, I'll say it in my terminology, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I think Paul said I'm betwixt, betwixt, that sounds like something you eat, amen, Twix candy bar. But anyway, he said, I'd like to stay here because I enjoy serving the Lord, and I want to get people saved, and I want to see, you know, people come to know the Lord, things like that. But I want to go help. I want to go home too. And so I think the older we get, and the more we have up there than we do down here, we just kind of we're betwixt. Whenever. But anyway, so praise the Lord. We were talking about that this morning, and how the heaven's just—it's real, and it's right there, and it's going to be awesome. So anyway, today we're going to talk about Psalm. 1 Thessalonians 1. Let's look at verse 7. Keep your Bible open because we're going to pop each verse. There's not very many of them in this chapter. But we're going to start with verse 7. And it says there, so that ye were in samples. And obviously that's not a word that we say much, in samples. But it's just like a word that we use, like example. And so that's what that word means, is example. So that ye were examples, or in samples, to all that believe. And of course, in context, we see here, they're talking about the people in Macedonia and Achaia. So this church, this Thessalonica church, had grown to the point in their Christian life. And just like we've been talking about in Sunday school, about how to be a disciple for Christ, they had grown to this point in their life and so forth. And so the way they lived, the way they acted, the way they behaved themselves, things like that, they were examples to other people over in Macedonia and Achaia, and they were like, man, that church over at Thessalonica, every time we go there, it's awesome. Every time we go over there, they're singing from their hearts. Every time we go over there, they're just getting along with each other. Every time we go over there, we're seeing people, they have people saved, they have people baptized, they have people joining the church. They were just examples. And so we're going to see what made them in samples, or what made them examples that Paul, obviously in the Lord, would have Paul write down. What made them examples? And that's what we're going to look at today. They were in samples to all that believed. And so, yeah, it was happening back in Macedonia and Achaia, but obviously I'm fixing to preach about it today. So they're still being examples in our day and time. And so they were in samples to all that believed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for heaven. And Lord, we thank you for knowing that in times like these, Lord, we have a Savior, a God that can handle anything and help us with anything. And so we just ask you to help us, Lord, today. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we're going to look at these people that you had recorded in the Bible, that they were examples to everybody around them, any saved people, all that believed. They were examples. And so let's see what they were doing to be an example. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here that we can look at them today and see that they were, I'm going to just say examples because that's what we say. And I might pop an in-sample in there every once in a while just because I'm looking at it. But anyway, they were examples. And so this church, they were an example. And so some things that they, nothing wrong with these things that I'm fixing to list. Okay? And I'm glad we have these things that I'm fixing to list. And it's helpful, things like that. But this is not why they were examples. In other words, there's not a verse we're going to look at today that talks about their facilities. All right? Now, I'm glad we got facilities. And I'm glad we have indoor facilities. Amen? And so forth. I'm glad we have everything that we have. It's nice. You're sitting on a padded pew, praise the Lord. Mine's not so padded, so that's why I stand up the most of the time. All right. But anyway, it's comfortable. And we had heat this morning when it was 62. And now, praise the Lord, I can feel the air now that it's getting hotter than 62. So praise the Lord for facilities. And we got nice lights every time. I was fixing to say, every time I flip a switch, they all come on. There's some that's misbehaving right now because there are two switches and you got to go, but anyway, we'll get that fixed. But anyway, so praise the Lord for the facilities, but they weren't examples in facilities, and I've seen it. I've been in church work now for a long time, and I've seen people drive to other people's facilities. And they're like, we want to see how y'all, what are y'all doing? We want to see the color of your paint. We want to see the style of your decor, whether it's colonial or farmhouse and things like that. And they put all the emphasis on, you know, because if we could just have what that church has as far as facilities, we would grow like them. But again, I think it's important, and I'm glad that we have facilities. I'm praying that we'll have some more facilities down the road. Let's look at another ones. They weren't examples because of their finances. All right, and I'm glad we have finances. We can pay for those lights to be turned on and that AC to work. And we can pay when we need the carpets cleaned. And when something breaks, we can buy some new light switches and things like that. So praise the Lord. I think we need finances. And the Bible talks about it, about tithing and giving to missionaries and so forth. So praise the Lord. But there's not a verse in here that's like, man, this church was loaded. And that's what y'all need to be like. This church had it going on like Donkey Kong when it comes to their bank account. But it doesn't say that. So it's not about the facilities or the finances. Here's one. There's churches that are known for their fellowshipping. And I'm all for it, as long as it's got food involved. All right? All right. If we're going to have dinner on the ground, sign me up. I'm there. I'm there late. All right? Things like that. So, but again, there's not a verse in here saying, man, this was the fellowship in this church. And us Baptists get dogged for it all the time. You know, there's going to be some preaching, there's going to be some singing, and there's going to be some chickens that have had to die. All right, that's just what we're known for. Okay, and there's some churches out there. Oh, they got this for the kids, and they got this for the teens, and they got this for the senior saints, if you want to call them that. And they got this for the couples, and I'm all for all those. And again, I'm again, as long as the Bible's involved and God's being honored, fellowship. But they weren't known for their fellowship. They weren't known for the feeling. Right? It was more about the faith than the feeling. And there's some churches out there today, and again, I don't want to dog other churches, but they're more worried about the feeling than the faith. How do I feel when I'm there? So in other words, what they say, okay, we're going to change our hymns from in times like these to so that everybody will feel at home. Just like they went to the concert last night, now they're going to feel that same feeling here at the church. But the Bible says songs, spiritual songs, and faithful songs. Again, I think it ought to be teaching you doctrine, not dance moves. I'm sorry. Okay? You know, if you get to doing the jig out there when Brother Derek's leading the singing, woo, I'll let him handle it. But anyway, you know, it's about the doctrine. And so it's not about the feeling. And my wife, Friday at her school where she teaches was PJ day. Pajama day. Right? And they all got to come to school in their pajamas. And if you're a teacher and if that's ever happened to you, I pray for you and I'm sorry for you. Because when they come in their PJs, they ain't worried about school. They're not going to listen. They're relaxed. All right? They want a blankie. All right? They want some snacks. All right? They want to watch some, you know, some television shows. They don't want to learn about algebra and English. Why? Because they're too relaxed. All right? Well, these are my church clothes. Don't come in your PJs, please. All right? So, again, we see there's not a verse in here that they were examples in their facilities and their finances and their fellowship and even their feeling. Again, we're going to look and see what God said about it. So, we see here that the example was pointing out what these people were as a church. And that's what we are collectively. The Bible talks about the church. And there were churches at Macedonia, there were churches at Ephesus and Thessalonica, and so on and so forth at Antioch. But then the church collectively is all the people that are saved, and that'll be one church when we get to heaven, praise the Lord. So, but this church was a physical church just like this church. And they were like, man, those people over there at the church at Thessalonica, they are examples, and we're going to see what the Bible says about it. Number one, we see we're going to read verses 1, 4, and 5. And they were examples of, and I'm going to say a word today that is a little controversial. Okay, they were examples of the elect. The elect. Okay, now the controversy is here. There's some churches out there that preach and teach that there's only an elect few that get to go to heaven. And it's funny. The ones that teach that, they're always a part of the elect. I mean, can you imagine them up there? Now, I'm not one of them. I got left out, so you know, I'm just going to have to burn in hell, so but y'all enjoy. No, if they're preaching the elect and God chose the elect, they're always one of them. No doubt. Right? But it's not the elect that God elected. It's the people that elected God. That's what this book teaches. So the elect is the people that got saved. The elect is the people that chose to accept Jesus as their Savior. They elected. So the election part is on the individual to elect God. Why? Because the Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. His will is that all come to repentance. So the elect is the ones that elected. I'm coming to repentance, and I'm going to prove it to you. Look at verse 1. It says here, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Now, these are the guys that were kind of, you know, Paul was writing it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but Silvanus and Timothy was putting their 2 cents worth in. And he said, they're all here with me. So we're writing you that church at Thessalonica. It says here, which is in God. So they elected to be in God. God didn't elect to be in them, but they elected to be in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So because they got saved, grace be to you and peace from the God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So y'all are a part of the elect because y'all elected to be saved. Y'all elected to go to church. Y'all elected to be examples. So skip down to verse 4. Knowing, brethren, save people. That's what brethren is. You know, today it gets shortened. Even the girls calls each other bruh today. Right, I heard two girls out there in the foyer. Hey, bruh. Like, y'all realize you're girls, right? Might be, hey, sis. I don't know, but anyway, but brethren, save people. Beloved, here it is, your election of God, right there. They elected God. God didn't elect them. So they were being examples of being saved people. And let's look at verse 5. Why did they elect to be saved? Knowing that, brethren, you save people, your election of God. Verse 5 says here, for our gospel came not. So the reason they elected to be brethren or to be saved is because the gospel came. But it says here, it came unto you not in word only, but also in the power of the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know in what manner of men were among you and for your sakes. So obviously they heard the gospel. Everybody's a sinner. Jesus died for everybody. Jesus' blood paid for everybody's sins. All you have to do is accept that as a personal, Him as your personal Savior, and you can go to heaven. That was the gospel. So they heard it. But then look who shows up. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. And all of us that are saved, we can remember this. Somebody showed us in the Bible or with a track or somehow presented the gospel. And inside of us, that Holy Spirit saying, you need to listen to that. You need to confess that. You need to ask Jesus Christ to save you. And so this is how they became elect. So they were examples in being saved. They knew that they were saved, and they were examples of it. Not only were they examples, this is my introduction, not only were they examples of being elect, they were also examples of other things. All right, so they were the elect, and they were example. And we've already read verse 7, that they were examples to all that believed. So in verse 3, this is why it says here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. So they got saved and they got busy serving God. They got saved and they got busy growing their church. It says here, we remember you without ceasing. Man, that church over there at Thessalonica, their work of faith. In other words, not in their own flesh, not in their own abilities, but with faith in God and labor of love. In other words, they did what they did because they love people. A lot of churches today, they do what they do for numbers, or they do what they do so they get that warm, fuzzy feeling, or they do what they do so people will brag about them. But the Bible says here that this church, man, they did what they did because they loved people and they loved God. But also, it says here, work of faith and love and labor of love. And it says here again, and patient of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of us in here, we'd have to throw that patient part out, right? Because we're not patient. But anyway, it says here, but they did all that in the sight of God our Father. So God was blessing them. Because in that Bible, we don't have time to do this, but you see people that, like the Pharisees, they prayed to be seen of men. God can't bless that. This church had a labor of love, and they did what they did because they loved God, and they prayed, God bless that church. So we see that God is the one that's going to make it. So they were examples in the, being an elect. They were examples in their examples. They had that work of faith, that labor of love, that hope in Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father. They basically put their faith in God and they did all the work. And then the third reason that they were examples is because they were enthusiastic. They were enthusiastic. And some of us, our personality is, dude, take a chill pill. Relax. All right? That's just our personality. All right? But some people, they make coffee nervous. All right, you know, the cup will just spill itself before they get to drink it because they're just like, bing, 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 bing. I mean, they're on fire. They're enthusiastic. So again, we see that these people, this church, they didn't do any of this for self-recognition. They did it because they love God. They wanted to help people. So even this part, the enthusiastic part was, I've got to get the gospel out because there's people dying and going to hell. I've got to tell them that God can bless them because He can't. And so they were enthusiastic. Let's look at verse 8. It says here, "For from you sounded out." In other words, they weren't quiet. Hey, did y'all hear? God is awesome. Hey, if y'all put God first, He will bless you. Hey, if you'll allow God to be in your home and kind of dictate how you behave in your home, God will bless that home. Hey, church, if we'll let God dictate how the church operates, and how that we ought to be the way God wants us, He will bless us. And so we see that they were so excited. It says here, "And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place." In other words, they not only were excited about it, they wouldn't shut up. You know some people like that, they talk about their team. Dude, okay, we know your favorite team. Okay, we know the colors, we know the mascot, we know the winning record. Just hush. We got it. All right. These people were that way about God. They were excited about God. And they didn't want to put it under a bushel. No. They wanted to let it shine. They wanted to be that irritant, that salt. Don't let the world get worse. Let's shout it out. Let's be that salt. Let's preserve. So we see that they said, you know, they went on in every place, your faith to Godward and spread abroad. And listen to what the preachers, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, said. Look what it says. "So that we need not speak anything." We don't have to come over there and preach because y'all already done it. We don't have to go knock on any other door because y'all already knocked on them. We don't have to come over there and be like, "Woohoo! We're excited about God." Because y'all are. This is what God's saying. Not finances, not facilities, not the feelings, things like that. But this is what God said that they were examples about. And so we're going to look at a few things here today. He said, you know, God can do this for you. And they were excited about the Savior. He's my personal Savior. And I'm sorry. I just can't help but tell it. I was on my way to hell. Jesus showed me how I could go to heaven. I elected to do that. And I'm doing my best to be an example. And I'm doing my best to be excited about it. I hope they might come to Lighthouse Baptist Church and say, "Hey, that dude over there is as redneck as they come." All right? I mean, he English language, he butchers it. He speaks more redneck than he does English. All right? I don't mind that. Okay, I have to wear sunglasses because his bald head blinds me. All right, and again, you know, he's got those satanic ties on. I don't mind them, but I want them to know that I'm excited about my Savior. Okay, and I'm excited about salvation. If you go over there, you're going to hear how to get saved. I mean, that's what he's saying. And Paul and Silvanus and Timothy was saying that church over at Thessalonica, we don't have to go there and do that because the people's taking care of it. They not only were excited about their Savior and their salvation, they were excited about singing. Okay, now I know some of us are tone deaf, all right, and we can't, well, they say, I can't even carry the bucket, much less carry the tune in the bucket. But we're all supposed to make a joyful noise. This church, you know, if Brother Derek was leading the singing at Thessalonica, he wouldn't be like, "Come on, people, please sing." No, I mean, it was like, wow, I don't have to be excited because they are. I can be excited with them. You know, I'm not trying to pull it out of them. So they were excited about they sang from their heart. They were excited about not only the Savior and the salvation and singing, they were excited about supplication. They were like, if you pray and you're right with God, God will answer your prayer. And we're excited about it. They were excited about being able to serve God. It wasn't, I have to go to church. It was, I get to go to church. I have to sing when Brother Derek tells us to take our hymn books. No, I get to sing. I have to watch the nursery. Ooh, I guess you have to do that. But praise God for you ladies that are doing it. I think you can hear me on the speaker. Thank you. But anyway, there may be some... I have to clean the toilets on Saturday. My wife and I are on that group that gets to clean this building every once in a while. And that's the way we have to look at it. I'm excited about it being clean when we have people here. I'm excited about it smelling good. Not as excited as Miss Kim. I mean, she's got to plug in everywhere and spray stuff. But praise the Lord. I'd rather smell that than anything else. Babies, diapers. Anyway, praise the Lord. We get to, not have to. They were excited about God supplying their need. And that's what the Bible says in Philippians 4:19. And God shall supply all your need according to His riches glory. They were excited about that. They were excited about being servants. They were excited about being soldiers for Christ. They were excited about that. So, we see here the people of the church, they were of the elect and excited about it. They were an example and excited about it. And they were excited about being excited. Last one is my introduction. Look what they were also expectant. They were also expectant. And verse 10 says this, and to wait for the Son from heaven. So they were excited about being a part of the elect. That means I get to go to heaven. They were excited about being an example. God's let me be a testimony. God's let me be the light and the salt of the earth. God's let me do that. And God lets me sing. God lets me serve. God lets me witness. God lets me do this. I'm excited about it. But all the time that I'm doing that, I'm looking. And according to the Bible, I think it's going to be in the east. So I guess the sun's still coming up over there. We ought to be watching and waiting and expectant. That's what they said in verse 10. And wait for the Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I mean, there's hell. There's tribulation. There's this, there's that. But because I elected to be saved, I'm going to bypass all that. So we see that they were expectant that Jesus could come back at any time. So now we're going to look at my main points, and some of that will kind of filter down in there. But anyway, number one, we're seeing verses 1, 4, and 10. It says here, they were saved from the wrath. They were saved from the wrath. And so the reason that they could be an example, and the reason they could be excited about it, and the reason they were expecting Jesus to come back at any time, they realized that they didn't have to worry about it. Hey. The Bible says that hell, I mean, there's things that there's flames, there's heat, there's worms that die not, there's people that gnaw their tongue and gnash their teeth, there's yelling and screaming. None of that sounds inviting to me. But according to this Bible and these people at this church, they had gotten saved, so they weren't worried about that. And they said, but the Bible says that hell is enlarged daily. But it was only created for the demons and the devil. But why is it enlarged daily? Because people will not elect. And so when they die, that's where they have to go. But these people, they didn't have to. They were saved from that wrath. Also, the Bible talks about the judgment of God. I mean, there's captivities that you can read about. That was the judgment of God. There was ground that opened up and swallowed up people. That was the judgment of God. There was people that died in their sleep. It was just the judgment of God. But these people, they didn't have to worry about that. They were not worried about the wrath to come. Revelation 6:17 says this, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I mean, I've had people tell me, when I ask them, are you going to heaven? Nope, going to hell. I'm just going to party with my friends. Sorry, buddy. According to Revelation 6:17, ain't nobody going to be able to stand, much less party, all right, in hell. Why in the world? And that's what the church at Thessalonica said, look, I'm not having to worry about that. I'm not having to worry about that coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says this, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God says, yeah, I created hell. Yeah, there's going to be punishment. Yeah, there's going to be wrath. But I didn't appoint you to that. I appointed it possible for you to elect my son as your personal Savior and go to heaven and not have to worry about that wrath. Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in time of trouble. Now, so, I don't know how it's going to happen. I mean, I I'm getting old now, so I may just pass away and go to heaven one day to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. But if I'm still here, when all this stuff happens, God's my refuge. If the devil comes up and says, hey, I'm taking you to hell today, I'm going to stand right behind Jesus and say, come through Him. I'm His. I belong to Him. He's my refuge. And so when that wrath comes up, hey, I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do this to you. No, you're not. Because I elected to be saved and He is my refuge. Luke 3:7b says this, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I know God has in His Bible. I'm trying to today. Don't go to that wrath. If you're not saved, get saved. Elect to get saved. And you don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to worry about the wrath to come. And it says here, who hath warned thee to flee? And the Bible does talk about that hell that gets enlarged every day, that there's different degrees of the temperature. If a person just lived and died and never heard the gospel, they will have to die and go to hell. That's why we need to send missionaries. But their hell will be this temperature. But that person that's heard, hey, you need to get saved. Hey, you need to get saved. Hey, today you need to get saved. The Bible says their hell will be hotter. So God's like, here, I'm warning you from the wrath. I'm giving you the way out. So this church here at Thessalonica, they elected to bypass the wrath of God. Number two, let's look what they did. Verse 9. It says here, not only were they saved from wrath, but they were converted to God. Again, so it's one thing to be saved, yes. But just like we've been learning in Sunday school, one thing to be saved, another thing to be the disciple of Christ. You don't have to do all those things that the Bible says about a disciple to get saved. All you got to do is elect His Son. You're part of the elect. But if you want to serve God, you have to be converted to what God said. Verse 9 says this, for they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had into you, and how ye turned to God from idols and served the living God. So in other words, they were serving their idols. And again, today I don't know of many people that bow down and pray to idols like a Diana that we saw in the Bible that kept falling on her face when she was around the Ark of the Covenant. Or we don't pray to a heavy set statue that don't have any hair and things like that. I don't know of a lot of people that do that. But there are some still. But our maybe idols are maybe our bank account, because we put that above God. Maybe our hobbies, because we put that above God. Now, we might not be praying, oh, holy baseball, or oh, holy hunting, or oh, holy fishing, but we put more emphasis on that than serving God. And I'm preaching right here, because I like all that stuff. All right? But I'm not going to put that more important than God. So we see that these guys, they converted to God. They got saved from the wrath. But they said, I want to be like God. I want to make God happy. And that's why they were examples. And so it says here, they were not unequally yoked, like the Bible says. They had come out from among the world and they were separate. They were different than the world in their lifestyle, in their language, in their look, and even in their love. Because the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So we see here, they were converted to God. So they said, I used to love the world, but now I love God. I used to serve the devil, kind of like Saul said, but now I serve God. I please myself, but now I please God. They had converted to God. Number three, so not only were they being saved from wrath, they were converted to God. Number three, it says here, they received the Word. Look at verse 6. They received the Word. Okay, and the reason that they became elect is because Paul and Timothy and others gave them the gospel and the Holy Spirit confirmed in their heart. That's what you need to do. Then after that, they started saying, "Woo! There's a whole lot more in this Bible than just about salvation. It says I need to live this way. I need to behave like this." Woo! Verse 6, and ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the Word, and here it is, and in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Some of you can testify to this. you came to church, or you know, a friend of yours started witnessing to you, and you're like, man, I need to elect that. I need to get saved. And you do it. And it ticks your friends off. It ticks your relatives off. It ticks your boss off. And they're like, and so here I am trying to get saved and do what God wants, and I'm in much affliction. Oh, you think you're better than us now. Or you can't do this, you can't do that now. And much affliction. But it says, what did they do? With joy of the Holy Ghost. God, as long as you're happy with me, everybody else can just take a hike. That's what they said. I'm not trying to be mean to them. I'm not trying to, you know, be hateful. But if they want to give me affliction, I'm just going to have joy in the Holy Ghost and keep on serving God. So we see here, they were examples of that. We won't take time to read it, but Acts 17, verses 2 through 15, talks about another church. And so we're looking at the church at Thessalonica today, and they were examples. But this verse in chapter 17 of Acts, verses 2 through 15, this verse says they were more noble than the Thessalonians. So I'm preaching a whole sermon about the church at Thessalonica, and then now the Bible tells us in Acts that this church over here at Berea, I mean, they're one up in the Thessalonians. What in the world? And it says that they heard the word just like the Thessalonians did, and they received it just like the Thessalonians did. But then it goes on to say that they searched the Scriptures daily. I mean, to see what it was all about. And they applied it to their life and things like that. And so they were even more noble than these noble people here at Thessalonica. So they were examples of being saved from the wrath. Examples of being converted to God. They were examples of receiving the Word. Fourthly, they were examples of serving God. And again, in our growth of our Christian life, I'm saved and I know it. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm singing. I'm going to be there. I don't know if I can tell anybody about Jesus. I don't know if I could clean a bathroom. I don't know. Not this church. I mean, the preacher would barely get it out of his mouth. We need three people to, you know, like those smart kids in class. Did y'all ever have any like that? The teacher would ask a question, I'd be like, I wouldn't make eye contact. But there was always that guy, but, ooh, ooh, ooh. Why? Because, you know, Eugene knew the answer. He was excited about it. All right? And so we see that these people, they wanted to serve God. We need three people. I haven't even said what it is. I don't care what it is. I want to serve God so much to just put my name down. Well, it was cleaning out the septic tank. That's fine. All right, some of us will go, oh, I got something on that Tuesday. My bad. conflict of schedule. You know, we see. But these guys, they were excited. Verse 9, the second part says, ye turn from God to idols to serve the living God. Psalm 100, verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Sometimes, you know, this church, they weren't like, I got to go to church today. That preacher be texting me. Where you at? Missed you. I got to go. No, they were just sitting there like 15 minutes before the service. Let's go. Let's sing. Let's preach. They were excited. They said here, you know, we're going to serve the Lord with gladness. Some say, you know, I serve God, but they don't. Some say, I serve God, but they don't do it with gladness. They have that I have to religion. But then some serve the Lord with gladness. And they say, like my dad always told me, you don't have to go to school. You get to go to school. Because you could be dead. And if you don't get out of that bed, you're going to be. All right. But anyway, you don't have to. You get to. That's what these people did. So if everything, they came to realization of how much God gave them and did for them, it was a joy to serve the Lord. So why were they examples? They were saved from the wrath. They were converted to God. They received the Word. They served God. And number five, it says here, they were expecting, this is one of the introduction, that Jesus could return any minute. Verse 10, it says here, wait for the Son from heaven. So in other words, they lived like God was watching. They lived and behaved like God could come back any second. All of us have been caught with our hand in the cookie jar. No cookies before supper. There's Mom. You know, we got caught. But that's exactly what these people, they didn't have to worry about it. Why? Because they weren't doing anything wrong. They weren't doing anything they weren't supposed to. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And so they was like, look, let him even so come quickly, Lord. Come, because we're examples. With your help, we're doing this. I gave you a few verses that has this philosophy in it. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us to be looking. Like He could come back anytime. We preached about this not too long ago, John 14:3. And I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? All right, so obviously they're just standing there. All right. So we're supposed to be busy, occupy until He comes, as the Bible says, but be aware that He could come. But it goes on to say, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. So after He had resurrected and had the Last Supper and so on and so forth, the Bible says He ascended up into heaven. But He's going to come back in like manner. So He's coming right back down. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they lived like they were watching and waiting for the Lord to come back at any time. So why they were examples? Saved from wrath. They were converted unto God. They received the Word of God. They served God happily, gladly. And they expected Him to come back any time. But then also they were joyful. They were joyful. Look at verse 6. It says here, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction with joy. Joy. There's a little bit of difference between joy and happiness. It's kind of like a while ago when we said, or early, I guess it's been a while now, that we know five people that have went to heaven. Okay? I'm not happy about that. But I have joy. Why? Because they elected to be saved, and they're with Jesus now. So we see here that not everything was a bed of roses in Thessalonica. They didn't say, okay, you're a member of the Thessalonican church, so you will never have an issue. You will never have a hardship. Everything will go perfectly for you. No, it didn't say that. And we know life's not that way. Okay, we think we've conquered something, and we go to the doctor and like, let's start again. We think we've overcome this issue at work, and it's worse. So it's going to happen, but we just have to give all that stuff to God and just live a joyful life. It could be worse. So it says here, they did it with joy. So when Jesus and the Word of God is in our hearts, and this glorious prospect of Jesus could be returning at any minute, that ought to give us joy. So nothing was burdensome. Nothing was boring to them. But it was bright. The future is bright. Acts 13:52 says this, and the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Ghost. And the last one, why were they examples? They were examples to others. And that's where we started. Verse 7, everybody, not just the Macedonia, not just the Achaia, but abroad, everywhere, they had the testimony that they were excited about all that stuff. So we see here that they were known everywhere, and not for their facilities, not for their finances, not for their fellowships, not for their feelings, but for their faith and their fruit. And so now we're going to start in my conclusion here, and I am done. But I'm going to read you my conclusion, and I'll show you the verses. And so we'll start right here in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. So a church, this church at Thessalonica, they were examples. And we saw why, but they had a purpose. And so in chapter 1, verse 8, it says here that their purpose was to get the gospel out to every place. To every place. And that's what Paul said to them. Hey, we don't have to go door knocking. Y'all got it covered. We don't have to go witnessing. Y'all got it covered. We don't have to come over here and set up a tent and preach. Y'all got it covered. That's what a church, a good church, a good example does. Say, hey, get your area covered. Their purpose was to get the gospel out. Number two, let's look at chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. This was their purpose. In verse 7 it says here, but we were gentle among you as a nurse cherishes her children. So that church, they were examples because they got the gospel out everywhere. And in doing so, you do that, people are going to start coming. You invite people, some of them will come. All right? And so forth. But then when they get here, it says here, we're going to treat them as gentle as a nurse. Now, I've had some pretty rough nurses. You know, hey, don't you have something with dead in that? But anyway, not that kind of nurse. All right? A nice nurse is how we're supposed to. Hey, you take my pew. I mean, in here it's like, I've been sitting here since, you know, Jesus came, and I'll be sitting here until He comes back. All right? But no, sit with me. Be nice. You know, no, you take the last donut. Not fork in hand, you get it, and I'll stick you in the back of your hand. No, you take the last donut. We're going to be nice. And that's what they did. And they were nursed like a babe. And that's what the Bible likens a new Christian, a babe in Christ. Okay, so you got an old guy that's been saved for a long time, or an old lady that's been saved for a long time. They can handle some stuff. But a new Christian comes in, they think all Christians are nice. So lo and behold, they meet one that's not. They're like, oh! All right, but a nurse takes care. And it says here, verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we're glad you came. And a lot of times, again, I guarantee all of us normal folks, we feel comfortable here. Again, we've heard all of my jokes, and we've heard all of my little innuendos and things like that. We're normal. Okay? When new people come, they're just like, oh, my soul. What have I gotten into? But that's what we see here. Being affectionate, desire. We're glad you're here. And for we're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. You're going to hear it. That preacher up there, he's going to make sure you hear the gospel. You come to where you're going to hear it. But also your souls, because ye were dear unto us. I mean, somebody's, hey, you sit on my pew, they have to be dear unto you. So we see, they only had a purpose to get the gospel out. Next, they were going to treat everybody nice, like a nursery and or nurse with a baby. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2:14-15. 14 and 15 says that they were a target of the devil. This principle is in the Bible. When you would do good, evil presence is with you. All right? I'll prove it to you. I'm not eating another sweet. You get home and your wife's made brownies. I mean, they're sitting on the counter. Oh, I said today I wasn't going to eat anymore. Tomorrow I'm not going to eat anymore. All right? When you would do good, there's going to be opportunity to do wrong. I'm going to be nice to everybody. And then lo and behold, you know, that person at work that just gets on your last nerve, and you have to pray for an hour to be able to just be nice to them, there they are. And they're amped up. All right, that's just what it is. But we see here that if we say, all right, we're going to get the gospel out, we're going to treat people like babies, like a nurse would treat a baby. If you decide to do that, look out. Verse 14. It says, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, and in Christ Jesus. Ye also have suffered like things in your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and they have persecuted us, that they please not God and are contrary to all men. So again, a couple of good things here. We're going to get the gospel out. We don't even have to preach because y'all got it covered. Y'all treat everybody like babies, like baby Christians, and nice like a nurse. But then lo and behold, boom, here comes that. But you keep going. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12 says this, and the Lord. So they went through that, all that persecution, and they did right. And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one towards another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So, take the persecution, take the temptation, and don't succumb to it. Keep doing right, and God will just give you the increase. And our love towards one another will abound, and God will just keep blessing. The next, we see here, chapter 4, verses 9, we see that church, it was a school of character. A school of character. And again, been pastoring here almost 2 years now, and I've had several questions over the last 2 years. What should I do in... Okay, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Okay, this is what the Bible says you should do. And they're like, wow. Okay, because God has the answers. This book has the answers. I don't have the answers, but God does, and His book does. And so in verse 9, it says here, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." Remember, He said, I didn't create you for that. I even give you a way out of that. "But to obtain salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ," you get saved, "who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do." So again, that edification thing there is not showing off. I'm a better Christian than you. Nah, nah, nah. No. Help each other. Pray for each other. Then it says here, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." So we all know each other. "And we're over in you," and it says here, "in the Lord, and admonish you." And verse 13 is the last one we read, "to esteem them very highly in love." This person is a saved brother. I love them. This person is a saved brother that is a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I love them. It says here, "for the work's sake, but be at peace among yourselves." And so, again, Paul went to some churches like Church Corinth and said, "Hey, we needed this." And boy, it was just competition and hating each other and babies in Christ. And it was like, oh, like pulling teeth. But over here, they were praying for each other, supporting each other, helping each other. And that helped with that character. Last one, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. It says here, "Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." So the church over at Thessalonica, towards all men. And that's what, you know, Jesus was talking to the sinner. He was eating supper with the sinner. He was going to the sinner's house. And they were like, oh, what in the world? He's God. Why is He going there? And His answer was this, hey, the one that's whole doesn't need a doctor. That's why... So when people come to the church, we're there to help them. Amen. So these guys were examples in what a church should be. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, we know the Bible says here at the beginning that it's an election that we have to make. You won't force us to be saved. You won't even save us without us having to ask. We have to elect to be saved. So if there's somebody here today that's not saved, Lord, help them to elect to be saved today. But Lord, if there's somebody here, Lord, that... needs to join the church, we just ask You to help them to join. Lord, if there's somebody here today that says, Lord, I need to be more like the people over there at Thessalonica. And Lord, help me to be the right kind of example. Help me to treat people right. Help me to be excited about serving You. Lord, I just ask You to speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to apply what needs to be applied. In Jesus' name. Brother Derek, altar's open.